Good morning, everyone. It is truly a blessing and a privilege to be here with you this morning singing these songs and praises to God. I was singing this last song and I was just thinking that how would it be to be singing with thousands and millions of angels in heaven someday? I thought it's beautiful. Well, I'll just open with a word of prayer here this morning. Yes, Lord in heaven, as we gather here this morning, Lord, we truly depend on you to be here with us, Father. We need you, Lord. We need you to help each step of the way. Lord, I need you to help me. These thoughts that I have, Lord, help me put them together, that they come out in the right way, Lord, that I can. Lord, I'm very capable of bringing them mixed up, Lord, but you can fix it. Lord, I just pray this morning that you can take these words and apply them to the hearts of the people here, Father, that it could be some value, Lord, in each of our lives, Lord, and that we could apply them, Lord. I just pray, thank you, Lord, for being here this morning. Thank you for being a God that we can call to, Lord, because you said where two or three gather, Lord, you'll be there, Lord. And we're counting on that this morning, Lord. We just pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen. Yeah, what God's been laying on my heart this morning, I feel that what I'm going to share on is a little bit is the people that we meet that challenge us in life. As we walk through life, we meet people that sometimes they can be an obstacle to work through, that we can come through with the peace of God in our hearts. And what I was laying on is if I could truly love them and forgive them for the incidences and the things that we face, if I truly love them the way Christ wants me to love, when we face some challenges in life, and if I could truly forgive, because we know it's not always easy when people are saying hurtful things to us and are challenging us. Jesus expects us as his followers to show not only love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to those who are not. Because we see how the world, how they respond to these hurts and these challenges and these little misunderstandings that they face. We see how they handle it. And God's looking down at his people, that we would handle these things in a different way. That we would handle them with the other person in mind and his salvation and eternity in mind. As we look at it, we can see what happens, the way the world responds to these situations. They lead to divorce, and it leads to families split apart. It's hurtful. It's hurtful and it's devastating to the Christian life if we can't forgive these little misconceptions that happen or these little misunderstandings in life. If we can't put them aside and walk on, because these things are a choice that we face. If we're going to love and if we're going to forgive, it's a choice that we have to, a conscious choice that we have to make. And God can help us. God can apply the grace that we can come through these victorious. And I know it's not always easy. You know, sometimes these hurts they're in our families. Sometimes they're between father and son, and between mother and daughter. And you know, the closer they are, the bigger they hurt, and the harder they are to heal. I've seen it in relatives. I've seen how these things work out, and it's devastating. Just the cry of my heart is this morning that we fix these little things before they become big, and we take care of them in our lives. And they're going to start with us. They're going to start with, we can't fix problems that the other person has towards us, but we can fix the problem that we have towards them by surrendering our life to God. Because we all have families, and you know, and I know these things come right into our Anabaptist circles and into our churches. Hurtful things get said, and even though we would never say it, we would never say that we have enemies, and we can put on a good front and we can really love them. But deep inside, there's sometimes these little things that that when we meet him, we'd rather avoid him and then talk to him. And the cry of my heart is this morning that we would not relate to these things as the world does. The world's standards of relating to these things is getting even. That we would truly love and our hearts would be free with one another. The way the world deals with these things is it's the alternative of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It is getting even. And we see that that's a never-ending stream of violence around the world. You can see it with the wars that are being fought. We can see it with the terrorist groups that are fighting. That they're still living in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant of getting even. Instead of loving their enemies, they're hating them and they're retaliating. This may be one of the most difficult teachings of Jesus for the world to understand. Is loving your enemies, loving those that hurt us, and loving those who challenge us. For Jesus said in Matthew 44, he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and prosecute you." To love is a commandment from God, and to really love in our hearts, there's choices that we're going to have to make. We can make the first choice and God can apply the grace that we can truly love and not just have control just to put up with someone is not the heart of God. The heart of God looks up on the heart if we really love him or not. because of our Anabaptist forefathers and the way they dealt with these things, the standard for forgiveness and love is very high. We see how Dirk Williams and the Feast Catcher, we see how the Feast Catcher was chasing him and he laid down his life. He died for his enemies. And there's practical steps in our life that we have to take. We have to die to ourselves for those that are offended against us. Otherwise, we're going to have conflict always in our lives. And we can see it with our Anabaptist forefathers, they went to the stake. We've seen fathers die for their faith. We've seen mothers die for their faith. And we've seen the children have to make choices to forgive the captors. Otherwise, they'd carry this their whole life. The text of loving your enemies, it appears in the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew 5-7. Here Jesus, he presents the opposite to the most common manner of dealing with one's enemies. We find the contrast is evident in his words. In Matthew 5:43, it says, "Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy." During the time of Jesus, some of the people, some of the Jews and some of the Judaism, they didn't like the Romans and the Samaritans and the Gentiles. They created their own rules that they should hate them. Jesus corrected this and he reminded them that the law said to love your neighbor. In Leviticus, it says, Leviticus 19:18, it says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear a grudge against the children of the people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for I am the Lord." Then he said in John 13:34, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." The words "hate your enemy," this commandment cannot be found anywhere in the Bible. The Jews, they thought it was appropriate that if you were supposed to love your neighbor with the Old Testament laws and the way it was in the Old Covenant, that you were to hate your enemies. One Jewish historian, he reported that one Jewish sect, they had to swear to hate the unjust. Jesus, he was clearly distancing himself from such a teaching and such a thinking. Jesus took the commandment to love your neighbor to a new level when he said that we were supposed to love our enemies also. And I know these things, these are practical things we run into with our jobs and we meet people that challenge us and they maybe push us and they could be dishonest to us and say hurtful things to us. We run into these things and we need to respond to the situation, Jesus wants us to respond the way He would have. And He wants us to love Him because Jesus showed forth love. I run into a situation a month or so ago. I was doing a job for a guy that was after getting ready to start the job, people started telling me that he was a challenging guy to work for. He was not a good guy. He was really mean, and I was going to be mistreated at the end. And so I did the job, and everything went okay, I thought. He called me a couple of days later, and he had me come out there, and I braced myself, and I went. And he belittled me for a half hour, and he told me a bunch of bad things, and he told me hurtful things. He told me that he didn't think I was a Christian, and was talking. I was witnessing to him before I started the job, and was talking about the Bible, and he professed to be a Christian also. So he was saying he didn't think I was a Christian. He thought I overcharged him. I made his sidewalks dirty, and his bushes had dust on them, and his mulch got ruined, and he went on for a long time. And I was rising up in my heart. It was hard for me to brace against it. He was saying a bunch of negative things and it was evident that everyone knew him, how he was, and I knew how he was. And I told him, you know, everyone knows how you are. Even the concrete truck drivers, they told me what a bad guy you were, and they were surprised that we was working for you. And God smote my heart. He smote my heart that I didn't respond with non-resistance, that I wanted him to know that I wasn't the problem, that he was the problem. And he was not a good guy. And God smote my heart, and I had to repent to him and tell him that I was in the wrong for doing that. But Jesus' answer, it is simple. He said to replace our hatred that we have in our hearts, we're supposed to replace it with love. In saying so, Jesus took reconciliation a step further. He said to treat our enemies as our friends. You know, he passed out of my life, and I don't think of him much no more. But God showed me that it's very easy not to like someone. I can put up with them, and I can talk to them, and I can do their work, but I don't really love them in my heart. I don't really care for them. God called me that day when I went out there. He called me to respond like he wanted it done. He wanted me to respond the way Jesus did, with non-resistance, and just to take it and to tell him I was sorry for the things that didn't please him. But I failed in that area. In Genesis, it says to reflect Jesus, to reflect Jesus' image. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God called us to display his likeness in the way we relate to. We wouldn't call anyone our enemies this morning. We would call them challenging people we meet. But really, in our heart, God maybe sees it that they're our enemies. Jesus commanded us to love our enemies and to pray for those who prosecute us, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. In Matthew 44 it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and prosecute you." This verse has suggested that when we love our enemies, we are reflecting the likeness of God in our lives. When we treat those that don't like us with grace and kindness, we are behaving like our Heavenly Father, who is no respecter of person. He gives his rain to the righteous and to the unrighteous. Jesus pointed out that when we love only those who love us, we are no different than the unbelieving tax collectors. It's easy for us to love those we go to church with, and to those we are friends with, and those we sit down and have a fellowship meal. It's not always so easy to love those who retaliate against us and openly tell us they don't care for us. It's not as easy to love those people. Jesus is calling his disciples to a higher standard of behavior than that of the world. In Matthew 48, he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." The word perfect is translated into being to the means of an end of yourself. It's translated that we can become perfect if we come to the end of ourselves and let God take over in tough situations. I know loving those who threaten us and intimidate us, it remains a challenge. But if God enables us with His grace, we'll reflect more goodness and grace of our Father in heaven. You know, there's areas in our life that we need to take just practical little steps of our own to help clear our hearts of these things and to be pure. Don't live with these hurts in our hearts. People sometimes, they repeatedly hurt us, saying hurtful things. It'll make it harder to forgive. Jesus told Peter how often to forgive. He told him it was 7 times 70. To me this morning, that is a blessed thought, to think that we have a God that stands ready to forgive us. He stands ready to forgive us, but this forgiveness has a condition. It says if we don't forgive others that trespass against us, our Father in heaven, He won't forgive us either. Our sins are going to be on our back. We can come through life with a testimony of with our testimonies of being forgiven of all these loads of sin way back when we got converted. But if we harbor bitterness for our neighbor, if we harbor unlove in our hearts for someone, we're going to stand judged before God. That's what the Scripture says. Jesus suggests that if we don't deal with these hurts, they'll turn to bitterness in our heart. And it's harder to forgive. We need to deal with each hurt through grace and forgiveness. Even when the other one at fault, he fails to forgive us, we're still called. We're called to deny ourselves and to forgive. I've seen incidences in our own family. I have cousins and uncles where I went to one of my uncle's funerals 5 or 6 years ago, and their family had a rough life. A lot of the children left home. He abused his daughters, and he physically abused his sons also. And the daughters took these offenses to their heart, and the sons also, and they never forgave their dad. And the outcome of the situation was devastating. And I know their dad was in the wrong in these things that happened, but the children chose not to forgive. It was evident in their lives. I seen them come to the funeral of their dad, and there was tears of bitterness in their hearts. They were persuaded to come, and I seen them crying, and I was just sure in my heart that it wasn't because their dad died. It was because of the pain that he inflicted upon their lives that they couldn't let go. And it's devastating what happened because of the bitterness that they held in their hearts. And the call is that we don't hold these things this morning, that we can let them go and ask God to enable us with His grace to, which seems impossible, God can make possible. I know how He replied to His children. And it's a warning to us that we don't do this. We don't reply in anger and upset with our children. And let's not reply in anger. In Proverbs, it tells us that a gentle answer, it turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up anger. I can see how we all know how this turns out when someone comes to us with a harsh word or a harsh rebuke. If we retaliate, it'll escalate real fast. But if we respond in love, if we truly love them and we respond that way, it's pretty hard for someone to stay angry at someone who's being nice to them. So it can dissolve the situation. It's not always easy to do, but it's a must to do. Be patient when challenging people. Maybe some people, they get under our skins more than others. Paul, he provided the solution when he wrote, Be patient with all men. In Thessalonians 5:14. Pray for those that hurt you. Pray for those who prosecute you. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and prosecute you." Jesus prayed for those that crucified him. It's hard to hate someone or harbor bitterness for someone that we're truly praying for in our heart. It says in Proverbs, "Turn your enemies into your friends." Solomon said, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." I have a story here of Abraham Lincoln. When the Civil War ended, a group of angry Southerners, they gained an audience with President Lincoln to air their complaints. His friendly manner soon thawed their hostility, and he left them with a new respect for their old foe. When a Northern congressman insisted that Lincoln destroy his enemies, he replied and told them, "Am I not destroying my enemies by making them my friends?" A godlike love is for everyone, friend and foe alike. Love has a greater power to resolve conflicts than hate. Hostility. Let's do it Jesus' way. Let's replace the spirit of getting even with a Christ-like love. In closing here, I have a story of Corrie Ten Boom. I'm sure you guys all know of her or heard. It's just a testimony of how people can forgive these huge hurts in their lives. Sometimes you see people take this situation ever so small, and it grows and it grows until until we can't handle it no more, and it turns to bitterness and destroys your life. Corrie Ten Boom was a German in World War II. She was helping the Jews escape. She was housing them when she was caught by the Nazis. She and her sister, they were devoted Christians. They were put into prison where her sister and dad died. Corrie was put to the test in 1947 while speaking at a Munich church. For 3 decades of traveling around the world speaking for the Lord, as Corrie told her story, she told the people of God's forgiveness of sin and the need for people to forgive those who harm them. At the close of the service, a bald man in a gray overcoat stepped forward to greet her. Corrie froze. She knew the man well. He had been one of the most vicious guards at the Ravensbrück prison, the one who had mocked the women prisoners. It came back with a rush. Now he was pushing his hand out to shake hers and saying a fine message. "How good it is to know that as you say your sins are at the bottom of the sea, and I, who have been spoken so gullibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand." He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among the thousands of women? But I remembered him well, and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. He said, "You mentioned the Ravensbrück in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there. But since that time, I went on and I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well." Again, his hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" And I stood there, I whose sins had to be forgiven again and again. I could not forgive. Betsy died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death by simply asking? The soldier stood there, expectantly, waiting for Corrie to shake his hand. She wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do, but I had to do it. I knew that the message of God's forgiveness had a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. Standing there before me, the former Nazi man, Corrie, remembered that forgiveness is an act of the will. It is not an emotion. "Jesus, help me," she prayed. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." Corrie thrust out her hand. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current in my shoulders raced down my arm and it springed into my joined hands. And his healing warmth seemed to flood my whole body, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried with my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But even so, I realized it was not my love I had tried. It was the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all I have to share this morning. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope it came out right.